Hello and welcome to Filling the Sink, a podcast from Catalan News. My name's Lorcan Doherty, and today we're looking at the debate around wind farms. Energy. We need it to heat our homes in winter and keep them cool in summer, to power our industry and vehicles, and to keep the lights on in the office. But where should this energy come from? Energy transition from fossil-based to zero carbon is one of the key ways we can confront the climate crisis. Just this morning, we're recording this on Thursday the 22nd of April, the US pledged to cut its emissions by at least 50% by 2030. And in the early hours of yesterday morning, the EU agreed a law to reduce emissions by at least 55% by 2030 compared to 1990, and to make Europe the first climate-neutral continent by 2050. Here in Catalonia, we're lagging behind Spain and the EU in terms of renewable energy output, but plans are afoot to construct a number of huge wind farms, including one off the Costa Brava coast. Good news? Well, not everyone thinks so. On this week's podcast, we will be hearing from those on all sides of the debate. Joining me to explain what's going on is Christina Tomás-White. You're very welcome, Christina.
Great to be here.
Christina, this week you travelled to the Costa Brava. We'll hear a little bit more about that later on. But do you want to give us a little overall picture of how Catalonia is doing in terms of renewables?
Yeah, so it's actually not that great here. We are lagging behind the rest of Spain as well as the EU average. Last year, 19.8% of all energy produced in Catalonia was renewable. So that's hydropower, especially hydropower, wind power, as well as solar power, although there are a few other forms that we won't get into today. But if we look at the latest comparative figures that we have from 2019, Catalonia, 16% of all energy was renewable in 2019, whereas in Spain, it was 36.9%. And the European Union, the average was 34.1%. So that's a significant
gap. Looking at that, Catalonia is actually less than half the Spanish average and much lower than the EU average, as you said as well. And I think what's interesting to note is that while for the EU as a whole, the trend is very clear, every single year from 2005 to 2019, there's been a bigger percentage of electricity generated from renewable sources. Now, it's not quite as clear in Spain. There was a little fall around 2014 to 2018. But in Catalonia, it seems like in the last 10 years, it's kind of fluctuated. It's gone up and down between 15% and up to 21% in some years. I think it was 2014. So I think in terms of the overall trend, it looks like there's been a real shift towards renewable energy sources on average in Spain and the EU, but not in Catalonia, at least certainly not to the same extent.
No, I mean, just because it went up by almost 4% last year, you know, we should be a bit cautious when we analyze this, because who knows if next year it's going to go up as well, or if it'll stay the same or go down a tiny bit, you know.
So I suppose the obvious question is why?
That's a very good question. And to find out, I spoke to Professor Sergi Saradier, a geography professor at Universitat Rovira I Virgili in Tarragona in southern Catalonia. According to him, it is because both the Spanish and Catalan governments haven't encouraged these renewable energy plants when they could have. And he says that there's been a lack of interest on their part when, for example, one of the things that they could have done is, you know, establish tax breaks for people who wanted to, like, go ahead with their own renewable energy projects, you know, set up solar panels or something, because companies aren't doing it. And of course, he also says that companies themselves are partially to blame, because there have been instances where they have been given the go-ahead, you know, to build a renewable energy plant, and they just haven't done it because of what he calls their own interests.
Okay, well, in recent months and indeed the past few years, there's been more and more talk about kind of large-scale wind farms again, because we should say Catalonia's first wind farm was built back in 1984. In the 90s, there was kind of a push for more wind farms right up until 2013. But since 2013, there hasn't been any new ones built. But the conversation has started again. And in January, it was announced that in Roses, up in the Costa Brava, up in the north of Catalonia, they are talking about doing a floating offshore wind farm. Christina, you were there earlier this week.
Yeah, we were in Rosas and in Puria Brava, mainly in Rosas, actually. So the northern part of the Costa Brava, right below Cap de Creus, not too far from France. There were actually a lot of French people, older retired French people, just, you know, out for a walk when we were there. And it's a very beautiful area.
Okay, well, let's take a listen to how you got on.
The equivalent of 80 Eiffel Towers and 25,000 FC Barcelona football fields. This is how a group of Alt Empordà County residents describe Parc Tramuntana, a mass offshore wind farm that Sened and Blueflow Energy hope to build in northern Catalonia's Gulf of Roses, some 14 kilometers off the coast. 50% of all energy consumed in Catalonia should come from renewable sources by 2030, a figure that should increase to 100% by 2050, according to the 2017 climate change law, something Territory and Sustainability Minister Damià Calvet and other authorities have repeatedly stressed.
No tenim temps a perdre. Hem d'accelerar l'acció climàtica.
And with Catalonia lagging behind in terms of its renewable energy goals and still heavily reliant on nuclear power, are wind farms like Parc Tramuntana the way forward? Sergi Amatier, the Parc Tramuntana project director, insists that they are.
The main target of this project is to contribute to the fighting against the climate change. We want to generate green energy close to the coast here in Girona.
The companies that want to get the wind farm up and running by 2026 with the help of EU Next Generation funds claim that the plant would eventually be able to cover 90% of the Girona area's energy needs as well as create 6,000 jobs during its construction. But a very diverse and vocal group of locals, from fishermen to business owners, environmentalists, are fiercely opposed.
D'entrada, el sector de la pesca és el més afectat de tots.
Antoni Abad, the head of the Roses Fishermen's Guild, says he's in favor of renewables, but fears that Blueflow and Sened could be going about things too quickly without considering the impact it could have on both his business and the environment.
Que aquí pot quedar un nyap, i això és el que no voldríem ningú de nosaltres, eh?
Others, like Pedro Pérez, who owns a boat hire company in Empuria Brava, resent what they perceive as outsiders coming in from Barcelona and Madrid and changing things.
I en tot cas, és una iniciativa privada que no té res a veure amb nosaltres.
Pérez, like hotel manager Rudy Rum, say it will ruin what they describe as one of the prettiest bays in the world and drive away the tourists that many businesses in the area rely on.
20, 25, 30% drops in tourism, and this in Rosas would be huge. Because it's not only a restaurant like this one, it's the whole industry behind, like not only restaurants and hotels you have.
But locals are not only concerned about fishing and tourism, or even perhaps oligopolies, but, and this might even seem counterintuitive, the environment too, as they say it could, for example, disrupt bird migration patterns.
So that's really interesting, talking about the harm that it could do to the environment, because obviously it's renewable energy, it's all about fighting climate change and trying to save the environment, but it's not that simple, really, is it?
No, actually I spoke to Raúl Domínguez, who is a member of Yaden Salvem L'Empordà, this environmental group. That...
Which is like, we save L'Empordà, no?
Right, yeah, we save L'Empordà, or let's save L'Empordà. And although he was saying that, like, for example, the companies that are behind this wind farm project in the Gulf of Roses, they want to build it in an area that is not protected for these species, the birds that, you know, that might migrate from
Africa
to Africa. So even though it's not in a protected area, he was saying that, well, you know, bird species, they don't follow a strict they don't stay in their lane. they tend to like move between areas in the general.
So they might not take the exact same route.
Right,
these are, they
right,
don't have
right. No, and it was also interesting because he was saying that the wind turbines, you know, obviously it's a huge plant there, that they also will give off a magnetic field of their own that could confuse these birds, because they guide themselves from the field that comes from land, and that's kind of how they find their way, you know, to make it all the way to Africa, and that this huge facility out in the middle of the sea could throw them off.
And environmentalists were also concerned not just about bird life, but also about sea life too.
Right, right. There are a lot of sea mammals that, swim in those waters, and who knows how it could possibly affect them. So the company obviously says that, you know, it's in an area where fishermen aren't allowed to fish. But then, of course, the fishermen counter by saying that they voluntarily stopped fishing there to help restore the fish population. So, you know, there are always two sides to
The project director came out today and said that they're even talking about compensation or how they can work with fishermen. He said he's pretty sure that they'll find an agreement. And in terms of, as you said, he said that they're working with biologists and wildlife experts in order to have the minimal impact. In fact, at the minute, they are preparing their environmental impact assessment, which still has to be submitted. So I guess there's a lot of local opposition that we've heard, but it still has to go before the authorities. And I suppose...
I mean, this project hasn't been approved yet. You know, they only announced that they were considering building it last January, and they're going to start getting their permits in order this summer to hopefully have them all in order by 2023 so that it is completed by 2026. You know, but who knows? Maybe they won't be given permission. Maybe they'll find that it isn't safe for the wildlife.
Yeah, it's interesting because obviously, you know, we've been researching this story and the two sides are spinning completely different stories. So it'll be interesting to see how the officials rule on it.
Even trying to figure out exactly where it would be, you know, if you look on the Parque Tramuntana website, it says it's going to be 24 kilometers off the coast. And then we were receiving all these manifestos from like this huge plataforma Stop Macro Parque Eolic.
Yeah, so all these activists.
That are very angry about them possibly building this there. And they were saying that it was only 14 kilometers away. I was like, 14, 24. But of course, you know, the coast isn't straight. So what these companies have done, they've taken the furthest point away from the coast and they've focused on that by saying 24 on their website, whereas all the activists are saying like, no, it's only 14 kilometers away. And, you know, they're just highlighting just how big they are going to be, and they're going to be illuminated. So they worry that, you know, maybe at night you'll be able to see them, or at least see the light that emanates from them, and how that could disrupt or just, you know, ruin the landscape, which is what they say.
Yeah, obviously it's a really important area for tourists. So that's another kind of one of the arguments that people in the local area are making, that this will put off tourists. Now, I wonder, is that a little bit a case of just NIMBYism, like, you know, not in my backyard, because we need this transition to green energy to happen. So is it just, this is a great idea, but I just don't want to be seeing it from my hotel?
Right. I mean, I guess you could see it that way. I mean, there might be a bit of that. But what's really interesting is that when you go there and you talk to the people that are against this wind farm, there's so many different people that agree on the same thing, which is pretty remarkable, because that doesn't happen all too often. You know, you have restaurant owners and hotel managers and boat hire company directors, or whatever you want to call them, that are like staunchly against this because they say that they're not going to be as many tourists coming. But then you also have environmentalists. And another thing that Raul Dominguez pointed out was that their opposition is based on the fact that there'd be only a few companies that would be producing and selling the energy. So I don't think it's fair to say it's just a matter of not in my own backyard, because all these people are saying, yes, we need renewable energy. Yes, we need green energy. They're just not in agreement with the way that they want to carry out this project.
And so the environmentalists are basically kind of saying that it's too big, it's too centralized. They'd rather see kind of smaller, local scale energy.
Especially closer to where the energy is consumed rather than out in the middle of nowhere, which is what we're seeing in like southern and central Catalonia.
Yeah, we should mention that it's not just, okay, this was kind of our case study, but there's other wind farms on land as well, or like in different parts of Catalonia that are being planned.
Mm-hmm. And they're closer to smaller towns than actually like big urban centers. So some people are saying that, have they chosen these areas because it's windier there and you know, they can generate more energy there, or is it because it's cheaper to be out in a rural area than in the Barcelona metropolitan area?
Yeah. I mean, mentioning the wind there, it's called Tramuntana Park. Tramuntana is this north wind that comes down from the Pyrenees. And, you know, I've been up to that kind of north of the Costa Brava around Cap de Creus. And I have to say, when I was there anyway, the wind was something else. So from that point of view, I can completely understand it. But I guess, you know, there's a lot of factors to take into account. I mean, the project director, Sergi Amitlé, was really keen to point out that projects like this are very important if Catalonia wants to meet its green energy goals. And he also said that they wanted to work with hotel owners in the area. They were talking about compensation. They also spoke about the jobs. Now, if you go on the website, I think it says like 6,000 jobs, but that's during the construction. But longer term, he thinks that there will be maybe 100 to 200 jobs for skilled technicians, researchers, maintenance. I mean, so it's a very complex story. It's one that we'll return to again. It boils down to that the energy transition needs to happen. If it's not like this, and as we've seen, there is a lot of opposition, then it has to take some form. So we'll keep an eye on the story and see how authorities react to the environmental impact assessment when that is submitted. Maybe another trip to Roses, Cristina, might be on the cards. In summer, might be nice.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind.
If you want to find out more about the impact the climate crisis is having in Catalonia, do check out our previous podcast. It was episode 12 of Filling the Sink on that very subject. That was, you had a special report from the other end of Catalonia.
Yeah.
So that's definitely worth checking out as well for a kind of overall picture of the climate crisis in Catalonia. Time now for our Catalan phrase. What's it this week, Cristina?
Comenzar la casa per la teulada.
Okay, comenzar la casa is begin the house. What does it mean?
By the roof.
By the roof, okay. So that doesn't seem very logical.
No, but I thought it was funny because many of the different people I spoke to this week that are against the construction of the Parc Tramuntana, they all said, comenzar la casa per la teulada. Like, to do this is to start the other way around.
Right, okay, yeah. So, I see, it makes sense. Comenzar la casa per la teulada, to begin the house with the roof. Lots more on this subject, including videos of some of the interviews we mentioned, on catalannews.com, and you'll see them on our social media channels as well. Thank you to everyone. I mean, Christine, you spoke to so many people this week, so our thanks to all of them. Thanks to you as well for joining me here today and guiding us through this topic.
Thank you for having me, Lorcan.
We'll be back with another episode of Filling the Sink next week. Until then, for me, Lorcan Doherty, and all of us here at Catalan News, bye for now. Adieu.